Let's read together Genesis 25, verses 1 through 18. In this first half of Genesis 25, we have the record of Abraham's second marriage, the record of Abraham's death, the record of Ishmael's sons, and the record of Ishmael's death. Genesis 25, beginning at verse 1. Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan begot Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Asherim, Letushim, and Leoman. And the sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanuk, Abida, and Eldah. All these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward, away from Isaac his son, to the country of the east. This is the sum of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried, and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass, after the death of Abraham, that God blessed his son Isaac. And Isaac dwelt at Beer Lahairoi. Now this is the genealogy of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's maidservant, bore to Abraham. And these were the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names, according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebaioth, then Kedar, Adbeel, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Massa, Hadar, Tema, Jetur, Naphish, and Kedmah. These were the sons of Ishmael, and these were their names, by their towns and their settlements, 12 princes according to their nations. These were the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he breathed his last and died, and was gathered to his people. They dwelt from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt, as you go toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. Let's consider a few background notes, first of all. How many sons did Abraham have, and can you name them? Now, if you've never read Genesis 25, your answer is probably 2, Isaac and Ishmael. Well, I'm so sorry, that's wrong. Here in Genesis 25, we see that Abraham had 6 more sons, making a total of 8. After Sarah died, Abraham married again. The name of this second wife was Keturah, and that's all we know about her. In 1 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 32, Keturah is called Abraham's concubine. This is to distinguish her status from Sarah, Abraham's primary wife. But Abraham did marry Keturah, as we see here. The mentions of concubines in verse 6 would refer to both Hagar and Keturah. Now, as you know, the Jews and the Arabs trace their roots back to Abraham. The Jews through Isaac, and the Arabs through Ishmael and these 6 other sons of Abraham. In verse 7, we see that Abraham lived for 175 years. The fact that Abraham lived to 175 means that he was alive when Jacob and Esau were born. Even though the account of the births of Jacob and Esau comes at the end of this chapter, Abraham would not have died until the boys were teenagers. In verse 9, we read that Isaac and Ishmael buried Abraham in the cave of Machpelah. That's where Sarah was buried. You can visit that tomb today. It's in Hebron, on the West Bank. In verse 17, we see that Ishmael died at the age of 137. And verse 18 says that his descendants settled from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt, as you go toward Assyria. That would include northern Arabia today. A number of the names in this chapter, by the way, are attested to in extra-biblical sources. The last part of verse 18 is difficult to translate. And it could mean either he died in the presence of all his brethren, or he settled in the presence of his brethren or relatives, or he settled in defiance of his brethren, or possibly he lived to the east of his brethren or relatives. So I'm sure you have a translation that has at least one of those, but it's pretty hard to translate there. We don't know exactly what it is. Well, so much for background notes then. Now let's move to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, a full life before death is the biblical norm for the believer. A full life before death is the biblical norm for the believer. Look at verse 8. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. The idea here is that Abraham had a life that was fulfilled and satisfied. This is a fulfillment of the promise that God made to Abraham back in Genesis 15 and verse 15. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. Now, we are not promised long life. Our lives may be cut short for any number of God's sovereign reasons. And some people don't become believers until late in life. But the biblical norm for the believer is to have a life that is fulfilled and satisfied in Christ. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, that he had come so that we might have life and have it abundantly. As a believer, Abraham, the father of the faithful, had a fulfilled and satisfied life. That can be our portion as well. It's the biblical norm. A full life before death is the biblical norm for the believer. Doctrinal point number two, a full life after death is the biblical hope for the believer. A full life after death is the biblical hope for the believer. Verse 8 says that Abraham was gathered to his people. Now that phrase is a Hebrew idiom or expression, meaning he joined his ancestors in death. But it may be more than just this Hebrew idiom or expression. I believe it contains the truth that there's not only life after death, but a full life after death for the believer. Abraham was gathered to his people, namely the faithful who had gone before, Abel and Enoch and Noah and all the other faithful from Adam on down. The phrase is used for Abraham's death, Isaac's death, Jacob's death. Notice in verse 17, it is used of Ishmael, who was a believer, but it is not used of Esau, who was not a believer. Now, the phrase slept with his fathers that you read of in the record of the kings of Israel and Judah is used for both good kings and bad kings in reference to their deaths. But gathered to his people seems to be used only of those who were believers, including Moses and Aaron. Certainly the rest of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, does teach the truth that there's not only life after death, but a full life after death for the believer. That's the hope of the believer. Hope, not in the sense that, well, I hope it's true, but hope in the sense that it is true, but it's yet in the future. David said at the end of Psalm 23, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David was not only looking forward to life after death, but full life after death in the house of the Lord. The Lord Jesus said in John 14, verses 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's not only a promise of life after death, it's a promise of full life after death for the believer. A full life after death is the biblical hope for the believer. Doctrinal point number three, God is faithful to his promises. God is faithful to his promises. Back in Genesis 17 and verse 4, God made a promise to Abraham, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Notice, nations, plural. They might say, where is that fulfilled? Well, it's certainly fulfilled right here in Genesis 25. Abraham had six more sons who became the fathers of nations. Also, God made a promise for Ishmael back in Genesis 17. Genesis 17, verse 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. Well, we see that promise fulfilled here in Genesis 25 as well. Let's read verse 16 once again. These were the sons of Ishmael, and these were their names by their towns and their settlements, 12 princes according to their nations. Direct fulfillment of the promise that was made back in Genesis 17. God was faithful to his promises then. God is faithful to his promises today. Many promises we could bring out as examples. Let's just take 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. God has promised to take care of us so that we don't have to worry. You believe that? God is faithful to his promises. Doctrinal point number 4. God is faithful to his program. God is faithful to his program. In verse 11, we read, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. Even though Abraham was dead, God's program would move forward. Regardless of how many other sons Abraham had, Isaac was the promised son, and he would be blessed. The covenant promises would come through Isaac. This was God's program, and nothing could change it. Nothing can change God's program today. All events are leading up to the return of Christ. Nothing can change that. Human power can't change it. Human politics can't change it. Satan cannot thwart God's program, even though he tries. God is faithful to his program. Well, what about practical application? Are you living in Beer Lahairoi? Are you living in Beer Lahairoi? Now, I know you're saying at this point, what kind of crazy question is that anyway? I live in Chicago. Well, true, physically you live in Chicago. But what about spiritually speaking? You see, Beer Lahairoi means well of the living one who sees me. What a great name with spiritual significance. Did you know that this is where Hagar was when the Lord met her in her need in Genesis 16? And this is where Isaac waited for God's choice of a wife in Genesis 24. And this is where we should wait on God, conscious of his living presence, conscious that he sees us and cares for us. You see, this is not just a mental concept to grasp. It's the truth. The Lord is alive and with us. He sees us and knows everything about us. He cares for us, even when circumstances are not the greatest. Do you believe this? It can change your whole outlook on life. Are you living in Beer Lahairoi?